Well, good evening. It's good to see you all again here this evening. We're going to begin with Ecclesiastes in chapter number 3 as a way of introduction. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, a very familiar passage. We'll just read the first three verses here. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this moment that we have together, this time that we can look into your word. Lord, help us to understand the message before us, the lesson for each of us to take away. Lord, speak through me in some way that we could all leave here more ready to serve you than we came. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought a little bit this week about something kind of interesting. I don't normally think this way, but we each have convictions about things. We draw conclusions about things. And for every single person in the history of this earth, we have drawn wrong conclusions. The only person to ever walk the earth and not draw a wrong conclusion was Jesus himself. And if you think about some of the situations Jesus was in, he was in some very difficult and challenging situations. But because Jesus never drew a wrong conclusion, he was able to handle himself in those situations in some incredible ways. And he never made a mistake. But for you and I, we draw plenty of wrong conclusions. And as I thought about what we talked about last week about the foundation of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the Word that we need to have and that we need to get to, I thought about what are we going to build on that foundation? And of course, the Bible has a lot to say about that. But I think to begin, a lot of us have questions about what it is that we're supposed to be building. This is especially true of younger people, young adults, older teenagers. We get to a place, and I know I did, where a period of time you say, well, what am I really going to do with my life? What am I going to do with my life? There's these big questions. I don't know what I'm going to build. But there are other places in our lives where we know exactly what it is that we're supposed to be building. Maybe you're a young family, and you say, I need to build my family. You know exactly what it is you're going to build, but you may not have any idea how to build it. Imagine yourself a construction worker, and just for one day, you're going to go become a construction worker, but you have no experience. So you walk onto the construction site, and the site manager comes over to you and says, okay, we're framing the building today, so I'd like you to go over there and put that wall together. And you say, well, you're going to have to show me. I've never done that before. I don't know how to put a wall together. And he says, well, you know, here are the tools. There's this power hammer, and you're going to go over here and start to, and you say, I've never used a power hammer before. How does it work? What does it do? It could be a difficult situation. The thing is that in our spiritual lives, we're walking on to the building site of our spiritual life, and for a lot of us, a lot of the time, more than we want to admit, we don't know how to build it. And for in a lot of cases, we don't even know what we're building. So let's see what the Bible has to say about this. And we'll pick up kind of where we left off last week. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's a powerful passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we sort of landed and ended on verse 11 when we came to this passage before. We're going to start in verse 11 this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we talked about that in some depth. But now let's look at verse 12. Now, If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, we're familiar with this, but as I thought about it, I said, these are very odd building materials. When I think about building a house or a building or structure of any kind, the first thing that comes to mind for me is bricks and mortar. And wood can be used, but wood with hay and stubble, where are the fasteners? There's no nails, there's no screws, there's no clamps. It's just wood, hay, and stubble. So let's examine these building materials a little bit closer, because there's a lot for us to unpack here to understand what it's saying. These are the building materials of our spiritual lives. Every man's, verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So these first three, gold, silver, and precious stones, it seems like it would be kind of difficult to build something out of that at first thought. How would you build something, a house, for example, out of gold, silver, and precious stones? When I worked at architectural testing, it was a place that someone here might be familiar with, Andrew Cook, you may know him, I don't know. There was a test that they would do. They would take a fortified door, okay, and they would mount it. They'd mount this fortified door. And the thing about fortified doors is that usually they're made out of steel. And in fact, in building materials, when you're going to reinforce something, you usually use steel. Now, why is that? Well, part of it is cost. Steel is very strong for its cost. And so it's a metal that works, it's workable, it's easily acquirable, and so you use steel. So there's this steel door. And so what they would do is they would put this steel door there, and they'd find the five toughest guys in the company, and they would give them sledgehammers and crowbars, and their job was to try to break through the door. They were given a time limit, and they were just told, okay, clock starts now, go. And they would just go at this door to try to break into it. And the goal was they had a little box, and if they could fit the box through the door in the given amount of time they had, then the door failed the test because it was breached. So when you're building something that's tough, using something like a metal can be very valuable. Now, imagine for a moment that architects and engineers had an opportunity to build a building and cost was no object. Cost was not a factor. They could spend billions of dollars on a little room. It didn't matter. They were going to build it. And their goal was to make it as beautiful and as solid and as fortified as they possibly could. What could they do with that? Well, if you give them access to gold and to silver, let's say platinum and titanium and any metals that they can imagine, they can put together a door that is just solid to no comprehension. But then, what does it say? Gold, silver, and precious stones. You know, precious stones are beautiful to look at, and they're certainly stunning. But some of them have some interesting properties. Diamond, for example, the hardest known material to come out of the earth. So these materials would be the best, the hardest, the most incredible, the most beautiful materials. And we contrast those materials with these other three in verse 12 here, wood, hay, and stubble. Now let's get this word stubble out of the way. I didn't know what it was. This is basically wheat, as I understand it, without the wheat head. So you take the wheat, and it's just the stem of the wheat. So it's kind of similar to hay in that way. So if you're given wood, hay, and stubble, I thought about how would you build a house with wood, hay, and stubble? So wood, if you were a really good craftsman, really these, especially the Japanese wood artisans, they get good at these, cutting the wood just right so that they can fit it together and get it to stay. And they fit these wood pieces together, but that's takes a lot of work, it's a lot of craftsmanship. So you put this wood together, and then you could make thatch out of the hay. You could have a thatch roof. So you could have a building. But look in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire. You know, there's something interesting about gold, silver, and precious stones. When they get heated up in a fire, the only thing that happens to them is they get purified. Silver, when you heat it, that's the process. When you melt silver down, the dross will come to the top, and you can clean it off. It's a purifying thing. And the same with gold. To purify it, to burn it, would purify it. But the wood and the hay and the stubble would just turn to ashes. Okay, so we walk on to this construction site, and these are the materials that we have. But we still don't really know what we're building or how we're building it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, we'll begin. And he, that is Jesus, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The problem with this rich man is that he was building for himself. He had, so let's just kind of turn this into, pull this story out. So we have a rich man who has barns and he has fields, and those fields are producing more than he can fit in his barns. And he said, this is a problem. So he says, okay, I'll just tear the barns down and build bigger barns. And that will satisfy that need that I have, and then I'll have all of this food. And you know, for us, I think we rationalize a lot of times the actions that we take, the things that we plan, the things that we do, because having possessions is not evil. Having things, having money is not wrong, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So what's going on here? Why is that? If he had torn down these barns and built bigger, but he had said, I'm going to build bigger barns so that I can store more food to share with the poor. That's a very different story. I'm going to build more barns so that I can sell that food and give the money to God. That's a very different purpose. What was his purpose in building bigger barns? His purpose in building bigger barns was for his own pleasure. Every work, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Sorry, I just have to have you turn back again. 1 Corinthians 3 again. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So this is talking about a saved person. Okay, you are saved, yet so as by fire. you do not face, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have put your faith in Him, you do not face eternal torment in hell. You do not face the fire. But that doesn't change the fact that all of the things that you do on this earth, everything that you do on this earth, is laying up in store in heaven materials for the building. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. These are the things that you're collecting. There is a connection between this physical world that you're living and the spiritual world. All of the things that you're doing in the physical world are directly, it's like you're adding a material to the building in the spiritual world. You do something and you add a slab of wood. You add a brick of gold to your building in the spiritual world. And so every single action that you do, it's the look that you give to the clerk at the grocery store when she miscounts your change. It's the way you react when someone cuts you off in traffic. It's what you think about when you pass someone on the street. It's the helping hand you gave to your neighbor without asking for anything in return. It's the way you responded when spell check miscorrected your text message. It's everything that we do. That's a little daunting to think about. So let's step back for a minute, because the Bible has a lot more to say about this. We're looking at this spiritual foundation, the Word of God. Remember, the spiritual foundation is the Word of God. And we want to understand what we're going to build on that foundation and how we're going to build it. Let's go back to Luke, but this time chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. We're going to begin in 25. Luke 14, 25. And there went great multitudes with him, that is Jesus, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Let that verse sink in there for a second. We get wrapped up in material things and think that that's our biggest barrier. What does God want us to leave behind to be his disciple, to let go of, to be his disciple? If any man come to me, that is Jesus, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister, yea, his own life. Look at verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So you go to build a tower and you start to put some money together, you get the foundation laid. Your neighbor comes over to you and says, oh, what are you doing over here? You say, I'm building a tower. Oh, that's really great. And then you run out of money. And a neighbor comes to you in a couple of weeks and says, what's going on with the tower? I didn't see any progress. Oh, well, that's on hold right now. Yeah. That's what you've done. And for a lot of us, you see, this is the challenge, because this is just as difficult for me as for anybody. But this is the challenge. For a lot of us, we see the foundation. We have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's not the question. We understand that we're to cast down the altars of sin and get those things out of the way. We understand that the foundation of the Word of God is to be the place where we find the truth and what we build on. We know that we need to go to Jesus for the answers for our life. We know those things. But have we counted the cost of what it means to be Jesus' disciple? Do we recognize the importance of building for eternity? What's it going to cost to build the building that God is calling you to build in heaven? We need to count the cost and forsake all. Look at verse 31. He continues the example. He says, "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." This is a really challenging situation. So now we have these building materials, and we recognize that the building that we're supposed to build is really important. But we still don't really understand what the Bible has for us on how to build that. We're so ingrained in the way of thinking of earth. To think about these spiritual things can be a challenge. Turn with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Starting in verse number 19. "Nevertheless, the foundations of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Now, that kind of fits with what we're talking about, but to really understand what it's saying, we need bigger context of this passage. This sounds very familiar to our building example. But what is this passage talking about? Go back with me to verse 14. "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, and of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Notice that that is a false doctrine, something that's a blatant false doctrine, like ignoring the resurrection of Christ, ignoring the power of the resurrection. In verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Now, the thing that I think is clear from this passage is the connection between the building that God has for us in the spiritual world and the word. Notice in verse 15, study to show thyself approved. What's the issue in this case? The issue in this passage is that there's false doctrine. And there are teachers who are taking this book and using it, but they're using it improperly. They're using it to their own understanding. What does the Bible say? Lean not unto your own understanding. What does it say? It says, rightly divide. The key here is we need to rightly divide the word of truth. And that is how we can separate the difference between the vessels of gold and silver and the vessels of earth and clay. What are the things that are right? If we're not rightly dividing the truth, how are we ever to know whether we're building a wooden shack with a thatched roof in heaven or building a golden, silver, immaculate masterpiece in heaven? The connection between the things we do on this earth and in the spirit, we may just draw the wrong conclusion about what's right and what's wrong because we heard somebody tell us, because so-and-so said that this is right. I heard this from a preacher. Okay? But what does the Bible say? The key here is to rightly divide the word of truth. And having that proper understanding of the word is how you will determine which building materials to use. Okay. But it still leaves us with an interesting question. How do we build it? Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Near the end of the chapter there, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You see, when we talk about a foundation in the physical world, we usually think about a very static thing. When we lay a foundation on this earth, we really don't want anything to change. We want it to stay where it is. That's the idea of a foundation. It cannot be movable. It needs to be static. It doesn't influence the building above it other than keeping it from moving. In the spiritual world, there are more dimensions than we understand. And the thing is that is still true of the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't change. And it is the foundation. It's described as the foundation. It is solid. But it's more than that. See, the Word of God is able to build up. When we rightly divide the Word of truth, we can see the building being built. It's through the action of the word. Remember we talked about last week how we live out that trust of the word. We live it out. And it's through that we see it, the building come together. Okay. But how does that work? How do I do that? How do I get there? It's actually a lot simpler than, as a lot of theological things are, it's a lot simpler than it would seem. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 66. End of the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at the first two verses of Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Let me unpack this verse a little bit. God speaking, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. This earth that God created to be the picture of a foundation of eternity, this earth is simply his footstool. It is under him. Where is the house that ye build unto me? How could mankind ever build a house that could contain God? And Solomon, when he built the temple, in the dedication of the temple, he talks about how nothing can contain this, least of all this house that I have built, he says, something to that effect. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Is God supposed to come down into this place of earth? He is so great. He's the one who created it all. Look in verse 2. For all those things hath my hand made. All of this, the universe, the earth, the things that you and I build, he's the one that made the materials that you and I use to build things. Okay, so that is the greatness of God. Look in verse 2 here. For those, all those things hath my hand made, and those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. To this man will God look, the one who created all of this universe, the one who created you and put you here, the one who has power over everything that is. This is the person to whom he will look. He will look to him that is poor. Because when we count the cost, when we count the cost of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, we just say, it's time to let go. These things on this earth are just for him. This life that he's given me to live is just for him. This family that I have is for him. When I count the cost, I come before the Creator God poor. Because I've left it all. And of a contrite spirit, smitten with the realization that my pain, that my sin is what put Jesus on that cross, smitten with the fact that Jesus would care enough about me to suffer and to die for me so that I could spend eternity with him in the most incredible place in existence. A contrite spirit. And the thing about a contrite spirit is that there's no pride in that. There's no selfishness in that. And then lastly, maybe even most importantly, based on everything we've talked about the last 2 weeks and this week so far, the end of verse 2, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. This is the key. This is how the building comes together. If you take this book with the level of seriousness that it deserves, you will tremble. And there are examples of people in the Bible trembling. The word tremble is an interesting word study in the Bible. Some New Testament examples, Paul on the Damascus Road, when he is hit by the light of Jesus and falls off, and he's there before his Savior, he's trembling. Paul and Silas in the prison, when the soldier, the keeper of the prison, almost kills himself, Paul and Silas say, "Stop. We are all here." He fell at their feet trembling. Why was he trembling? Was he trembling because he had almost killed himself? Maybe. I think there's something more there. I think that that keeper of the prison was trembling because why would these people care more about me than their own freedom? What would cause these people to stay in prison? What's the thing that would cause them to do that? The only thing that it could be is this very word. The only person it could be who would do that is Jesus Christ himself. When I count the cost, I lay aside every weight. Because nothing is more valuable. Nothing is more important. And this word is what is going to build up the kingdom of God. So that's the challenge. And so in front of us, we have to keep our heart. We have to keep that heart in check. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 3. The world will tell you to follow your heart. The world will tell you to do whatever seems good. Whatever feels good, do it. The Bible tells you the exact opposite. It doesn't tell you to never enjoy life. God has given us so much to enjoy. But Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." That's it. I don't try to outwardly keep the commandments because the thing about that is we cannot do it. And here's the thing about the spiritual building is that I can't build the spiritual building. I am in my flesh. I'm just a person. There's nothing that I can do that's going to allow me to build a spiritual building. But let thine heart keep my commandments. When I put my heart in the right place and I say, "Lord, I love you, Jesus, I love you. I want to serve you. And I want to see you in the word. And I want to understand your word. I want to rightly divide your word. Because this is where I learn. This is where I know what's right and what's wrong. This is how I determine which things in this earth are pure and right. Which things in this earth are earthen, are dirt." Verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. write them upon the table of thine heart. Deep inside of yourself are core convictions, conclusions that you've drawn, conclusions that you've made maybe years past about how the world works, your core values, so to speak, the table of your heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind mercy and truth into that table of your heart. Make it a core part of the way you think, what you love. Verse number 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It is never of our own doing that we build what God wants us to build for him. It is only by coming to the cross, the one who made you and I, the one who founded the earth and placed us here, the one who paid the price for your sin and for my sin. That's the place. And so when we prepare to build, it's so important that we count the cost. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and reflect on this for just a moment. God loved you so much, and in such a way that he sent his own son, his only son, a person of himself, to the cross for you. Have you trusted that? Can you say here tonight, yes, I know for certain I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with him. I have the answers because I trusted him. Or do you need to make that right? Believer, what are you building? What are you building? And why are you building it? Father, you are so wise. You are so holy. You are so loving. You are so just. Give us, Lord, wisdom, clarity of mind this week. Help us to get this right. May we build what you'd have us to build in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.